Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. God is just so good. I love what I'm feeling here. Amen. God is definitely in the midst today. And it seems like the message that is consistent throughout this service is just goes right along with what I have to preach today. And nothing too deep or profound, but something that I kind of felt impressed to share with you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Judges chapter 1. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 7. It's like the devil's been fighting me this week. For some reason, my iPad wouldn't connect to my computer to get my notes off of it, so I'm having to preach off a laptop today. But the word's still just the same. Amen. Praise God. Judges chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. When you get it, say amen. Amen. Judges 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, "Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with thee into thy lot." So Simeon went with him, and Judah went up. And the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew of them Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek. And they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites. They slew the Canaanites and Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done so, God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. I want to read verses 1 and 2 again, because from there I'm going to be taking my thought primarily. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I delivered the land into his hand." Today I want to preach to a message simply entitled, "When Judah Goes First." When Judah goes first. The Lord is already here. God is already moving in our midst. And I believe that God wants to bring victory and deliverance to those that are within the sound of my voice. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Let's get our minds ready, our hearts ready to receive of the word of God today. Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. God, we just thank you right now. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you, God, because your word is true and that we can stand upon it. And if God, if there be no other motivation than to praise you, just to knowing that your word is true, that we can trust and rely on you today. And I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that someone's heart would be pricked, oh God, would be impacted and moved by the Spirit of the Lord, and that they would come into relationship with you today. I speak it right now in the name of Jesus, deliverance and liberty. God, for there to be victory in Jesus' name. We thank you and give you glory. And in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about Judah. And in our story, we just see here that the children of Israel are attempting to gain possession of the promised land. Joshua has led a very aggressive military campaign in procuring the lands that God had allotted to them. And there were still some tribes that had not been subdued yet, one of them being the Canaanites. And at the point when Joshua had died, they were trying to figure out how they were going to subdue this particular piece of land. And they asked God who should go up first, who should be leading the charge. And they said, Judah. I want to look at the history of Judah because I think there's something that's very relevant for us today and why Judah was sent up first in fighting this particular military campaign. Now, as you know, that Judah is one of the names of the tribes of Israel. And the tribes of Israel are 12. And that they are the names of the 12 children or sons of Jacob or Israel. And Judah was the fourth son of the woman by the name of Leah, and who was the first wife of Jacob. And he was born because of a competition that his mother had with his sister Rachel in gaining the love of Jacob, their husband. Back then, they were in a polygamous relationship, and that Jacob had more than one wife. He married Leah first, as you know the story. He was tricked into marrying her, and then he worked to marry Rachel. And that Leah was hated, the scripture says, of Jacob. That he didn't really like her, was not attracted to her, but he was kind of tricked into the deal in marrying her. And that because of this dichotomy that we have, this situation, Leah is trying everything she can to gain the love and the affection of her husband. We see here in Genesis 29, verse 30, just to kind of see this. This is a very bizarre story. Genesis 29, verse 30, and he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. You see this? Like, now that I've given him a son, now my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated. Again, relating to her husband hating her, I've had another child and God has heard me and given me another child. Perhaps now that he'll love me. He hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him 3 sons. You see how desperate this woman is? This could easily turn into a dating seminar, but I won't go there too much. But think, well, if I just give him a baby, then maybe he'll stick around. I'll leave that alone. Hey, you read it. It's there. I'm not making this up. I've given him 3 children. Now perhaps my husband will love me. Now he'll be joined to me. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. Leah was a woman who was underappreciated and rejected and despised by her husband. Even though he didn't like her, for some reason he kept kicking it with her, if you know what I mean, and kept giving her, that's a whole nother story as well. But but the name Leah literally means weary or tired. It means weary or tired. Leah had been trying her best to get her husband to love her by giving him 3 children, only to remain unappreciated and rejected, which showed in the naming of her children, all the meanings of the names that you saw, all those things that she was saying after she had the children were actually describing the meanings of the names. Finally, when she had her 4th child, she gave her recognition not to trying to please her husband, but she gave recognition to God. It said that for she recognized that God was giving her these children, and so she named her 4th child Judah. And Judah literally means praise of the Lord or confession of the Lord. The word praise in the Hebrew is yada, which means to give thanks or to make confession of the Lord. And the thing is, just like Leah, many of us were in the world trying to find and win the love from the world that is cold and full of wickedness. We tried the world. We tried dating the world. I mean this figuratively, or you can mean this literally, that you try the things of the world only to be rejected, only to be isolated, only to be ostracized, only to be underappreciated, demeaned, and degraded, and treated like a second-class citizen. We gave our bodies. We gave our resources. We gave our accolades and our praise to the things of this world, to a lover called sin that only undermined us, that only enslaved us, that only manipulated us. And that's what happens to people who do not have a full understanding of God's word. In Proverbs 28:4, it says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with him. I can remember that when I was a high school teacher and I was teaching theology to freshmen and high school students, that we often would get in debates regarding different musical artists. They would always have their rapper or their singer that they loved a lot. And these people would be singing horrible, wicked, malicious things, things that no human being should utter. And whenever I started telling them about Jesus, they would get all offended and start defending these artists, these godless artists that are perpetuating fornication and promiscuous sex and drug addiction and gang violence and the abuse of women. They would rather defend that as opposed to defend the righteousness of God. Why? Because they that don't know the law, they praise the wicked. Do you understand that you are created to praise something? And before you come to Christ, you are praising the wicked. You'll praise godlessness, you'll praise, and you'll appreciate things that have no business of receiving your adoration or your devotion whatsoever. And just like Leah, she was laying out her resources, giving herself to a husband that did not recognize or appreciate her value. It took 3 children. After 3 children, she finally got the message and say, why am I trying to throw myself at this dude? I'm going to give my recognition to God. And so her 4th child was named, now I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I'm not going to praise some of these individuals that are in the world that do nothing for me. They've invested nothing in me. I will no longer sacrifice my resources to bolster their position. I'm now going to give the praise where it properly belongs to, and that is to God. So she named her fourth child Judah. And if you look at that passage, it said that she stopped bearing children for a while. Now, after that, she did bear two more sons, but there was a long period where she did not bear any children because for that moment, she was recognizing her appreciation of God and not this guy who was just using her whenever he felt it was okay. And that's exactly what the world will do to you. The world will only use you when it's convenient, when it will bless them and help them. But when things get tough, they are nowhere to be found. It's deuces. That's all it is. Bye. I'm out. We, just like Leah, we finally have to come to a point where we recognize who our praise belongs to. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That God will not tolerate any type of competitor that is receiving your praise and receiving your worship and receiving your recognition. One of the things that I'm kind of meddling here, but one of the things I just never understood is why parents would lie to their children and say, Santa Claus got you these gifts. Santa Claus, you write a letter to Santa Claus, he bought you that new PS4. He bought you those new shoes. He got you this new bike and this new remote control car. He got you these new clothes. No, I worked here. I earned the money. I bought this for you. Drive me nuts. No obese guy in a suit coming down the chimney is going to take the credit for what I did. I worked all night for this, for these presents. You didn't go thank him and write him a letter? I don't think so. Mm-mm. And that's exactly how we do God. You're sitting here by the grace and the mercy of God. But no, you'll praise the government system. You'll praise your boyfriend or your aunt or your uncle, or your brother or sister or friend. You'll give credit to someone else or something else. Your education, your background, your upbringing, whatever it is. You'll give it all to that instead of really recognizing who really brought you here, who kept you here. That if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, I don't know where I would be. This whole message is about praise and who it belongs to. If you've noticed, that's been the theme of this service, that that praise is what I do. Praise is what I do. Romans 7, verse 1. I want you to see this. Romans 7, verse 1 says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. It says that death is the one thing that breaks the marital covenant. We say that in our marital vows, that I'll love you for better, for worse, in sickness and health, for richer, for poor, till death does us part. And Paul is setting up an analogy here. That a husband, or a wife, I should say, can be loosed from her husband from her marital obligations once the husband dies. Now look at verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. In other words, it's saying that you were married to sin. You are married to Satan and his works. But when you came to Christ, the old man died. You died out to sin. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20 that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affections on things above and not on things below, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That when you came to Jesus, although you were married to an abusive lover called sin, you were married to this thing that didn't appreciate you, that did not recognize your value. You were laying all of your resources and your praise to this individual. But when you came to Christ and you recognized who Christ was and Christ wooed you, you died out to that abusive relationship and that bondage that you were in was removed and was broken, and then you were so that you could be married to another being Jesus Christ. Judah, I want to point something out here, okay? So I've given you the setup for how the circumstance behind Judah was born. Judah was born because we have a desperate woman trying to get her husband to love her. That's what, but eventually she finally just said, you know what? I'm giving this one to God. Now what, look at this now. Judah, or praise, which is what Judah means, Judah, or the praise of the Lord, was born out of weariness and tiredness. Leah's name means weary or tired. Judah came from a woman that was weary and that was tired. Praise came from somebody that was weary and was tired. It is in our moments of crisis and when we are at our weakest that praise needs to be birthed. It's when everything is falling apart, that is when you need to birth something. And you need to open up your mouth and just say, hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. In the middle of weariness, God wants to birth a praise out of your mouth that will set you free. And that is why the psalmist said in Psalm 34:1, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He goes on to say in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3, he says, I will bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. There comes a time when you have to speak to your soul, encourage yourself. Speak to yourself, say, soul, even though you don't feel like it. Soul, even though you're weary and you're weak and you're tired and you're run down. Soul, even though the bills are stacking up. Soul, even though you just got the doctor report that you only got 4 months to live because you got cancer. Soul, even though my children just cussed me out and abandoned me. Soul, even though my husband turned against me and left me for another woman. Soul, you're going to bless God at all times. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. It's in the tiredness, in the weariness, that's where praise is birthed. Seems contradictory. You think that it's when things are going good, that's when praise will be birthed. But actually, it's in the crisis that you find out what you're really made of. That really you find out whether praise is real or this is just some game that I'm playing. This is just some tradition I'm fulfilling. That this is just some thing I got to do because I got nothing else better to do. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. God is not pleased with leftovers. He's not pleased with just the extra or the excess that you give. God is looking for your very best. God is looking for a sacrifice. And the Bible said that God, that we give a sacrifice of praise continually, being the fruit of our lips. That we continue to speak of the goodness of the Lord even when everything is falling apart. The Bible tells me, I believe it's in Psalm 107, it says, oh, that men would praise him. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his mercy. All that people would recognize how amazing that he is and offer a sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice to praise God when everything is falling apart. But it's in the weariness and it's in the tiredness that praise can be birthed. Now, we're still talking about Judah now. Judah is our analogy for praise. Now, when Jacob, which was Judah's father, was on his deathbed, he prophesied over all of his children. He was on his deathbed. He's getting ready to pass. He called all of his children together, and he wanted to bless them or prophesy over them. He called them all together. Now, it's very interesting what he says about Judah. Genesis 49, verse 8, says, Judah, this is Jacob speaking over his son, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Praise will always have the upper hand on the enemy. I want you to look at that. It's talking about Judah, but it's also talking about praise. It says, Judah, thy hand shall always have your will be around the neck of your enemies. You'll always have them by the throat. They'll never be able to truly get over you. Praise chokes the enemy. Praise shuts the enemy up. It shuts him up. Because he can't withstand that. He can't withstand. The Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 2, oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. That God inhabits the praises of Israel, in this case, Judah, or in our case, us, since we are now God's people. That God dwells, he is enthroned in the midst of praise and worship. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:17 that now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And there is your answer as to why it shuts the enemy up. Because when you begin to praise God, God's spirit begins to stir and to manifest up. And it ceases all of the works and the attacks of the enemy. The enemy is no longer able to operate in your circumstance because because you have now given dominion of the situation over to God, who is fighting your battle for you. The battle is not yours. This battle belongs to the Lord. And that's why the Bible says in Psalms 24, verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The gateway to the body is the mouth. If you want anything in your body to nourish it, you have to go through the mouth. You want to eat a sandwich, you want to sustain your body, it has to go through the mouth. And the writer here in Psalms says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. If you open your mouth, the Bible then says, and then the King of glory shall come in. If you would just open your mouth and begin to praise God, God said the King of glory is going to come on in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Don't let him shut you up. The Bible says in Psalms 8 verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. Hallelujah. That thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. The Bible says that there is power in the mouth of babes and sucklings. That there is power to shut up our enemies. There is power to shut up the avenger. There is power there to silence him. And again, the reason why, that even as a babe cries, that the father comes. When we cry to our heavenly father, daddy comes to handle the bully. Daddy comes on the bus and said, did you just touch my son? Oh no, did you just talk crazy to my boy? Come over here, boy. Let me show you how to fight. You want to mess with somebody? Pick on someone your own size. And that's why point number two, praise is like a lion that prevails, and you don't want to mess with it. You don't want to mess with my praise. You don't want to get in my praise, because I'll mess you up, devil. If you start messing with me, I'm just going to praise harder, praise louder, praise longer. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on fighting. Genesis 49 verse 9, Jacob talking about Judah. He says, Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? That Judah is like a lion, and a lion is something you don't want to mess with. It's one of the greatest beasts of the field. The other animals don't want to mess or toy around with the lion. When the lion's sleeping, it wakes up. All the gazelles and all the beasts of the field, they scatter. And one of the things that makes me so happy is that in Revelation 5, verse 5, it describes this lion. And the Bible says in Revelation 5, 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Don't cry. Woman, no cry, as Bob Marley would say. Don't cry over the situation. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loosen the seven seals thereof. That the lion of the tribe of Judah, God is here to redeem you, to buy you back from the slavery that the enemy has put you in. You don't have to cry. You don't have to weep or be sorrowful or be dismayed or discouraged. You just need to praise God and allow the lion of Judah to roar out of your mouth and scare all the beasts of the field. Genesis 49, verse 10, getting back to Jacob's prophecy over Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh means the peaceful one. It's a prophecy of the Messiah of Jesus Christ. That the royal lineage, the kings, were supposed to come through the line of Judah. Judah was going to produce a king. And it said the scepter, or the rod of authority of power, would not depart until Shiloh come. And again, Shiloh means the peaceful one. It means tranquility. It means he that is sent. Praise doesn't relinquish control of a battle until there is a peace that is there. When in the battle, don't stop praising until you start feeling peace in your spirit regarding the situation. The scepter should not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. I'm going to keep praising God in the midst of my circumstance till he shows up. And when he shows up, there'll be peace. He'll speak to the storm and say, peace, be still. peace. Lightning stop flashing, waves stop crashing, winds stop blowing. There'll be peace. You keep praising God till the situation shuts up, till the storm calms itself, till there is peace, till the peace of God shows up on the scene. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's your praise. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The scepter is being passed to Shiloh. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Hallelujah, that I'm going to keep on praising until there is peace in my house, until there is peace in this circumstance. When you walk on the battlefield and you don't hear the clanging of swords, you don't hear the launching of arrows or the cries of men falling on the field, you know that the battle is already over. And that's what happens when he shows up, when Shiloh comes. There's peace in the valley. There's peace in the city. There's peace in your home and in your heart. Having said all that, let's get back to our scripture text. Go back to Judges chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I've delivered the land into his hand. And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. Now I want to use the meanings of the names, because that's the prophecy that Jacob gave in understanding what's going on in this text. We're trying to answer the question as to why Judah needed to go up first. Now Judah didn't go alone. Judah went with his brother, or another tribe, called Simeon. And Simeon literally means hearing, he that hears or obeys, or that is heard. So Judah joined up with Simeon, and together they fought against the Canaanites. Canaan, who was the ancestor of the Canaanite tribe, means he that humbles and subdues. Canaan was an individual that humbled whoever he came in contact with. He subdued individuals into submission. This was a force. This was a tribe of people that were conquerors. They were conquerors. And these individuals would not go down easily. And the thing is, when they asked, they said, who should go up first? They asked God, who should go up first? God said, send Judah up first. Because the best way to subdue and to humble the enemy is to start praising God. And I'll tell you why. Because one of the problems that we have is that when things get tough, that we have a tendency to magnify the problem and say, look how big this issue is. Look how huge this mountain is that I have to climb. Look how low this valley is. Look how many bills I have to pay. Look how far gone the circumstance is. And the thing is, praise does the exact opposite. It magnifies the solution and not the problem. And when you magnify the solution over the problem, the solution can conquer the problem. So he said, I want to send up the solution. I want to send up praise first to magnify me, so that there is no room for worry or doubt or unbelief. So there is no room for the enemy to operate. I'm going to completely invade his territory by being magnified and being enlarged and being increased in his operating system, so to speak. So the thing is now this, Judah was combined with Simeon. Simeon means that is heard. When your praise is heard, it will conquer the enemy. When your praise is heard or is obeyed, I should say, because the word praise also means confessed. That when you are confessing God's word, you are in fact praising him, because you're declaring his dominion in the earth. You're declaring his supremacy in the situation. And as you do that, when your praise is heard, when the enemy begins to hear the praises of God, he begins to shrink back in terror. So Judah had to go up first. The Bible says in Psalm 149 verse 6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. That the Bible says, let the high praises go out, and that out of your mouth, and a two-edged sword, which is the word of God in your hand, and it will bind the kings that are having dominion over your life. James 4:6 says this, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. That as you are praising God, you are actually humbling yourself before him by recognizing his supremacy and his dominion over your life. You are recognizing that he is God and there's no God beside him. There neither is a God formed after him or before him. That he alone has dominion on the earth. The heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. That he sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That there's no God as bad as our God. As you praise and you magnify him, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. When you begin to praise God and acknowledge his supremacy, you're humbling yourself before God. And God resists the proud, but he giveth more grace unto the humble. And the Bible says to submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. As you submit and praise God, and praise God, the enemy has nothing to work with against you. Amen. Judah had to go first. Judah had to go first. Whatever battle you are fighting right now, if you want to win the fight that you're in, you need to get a praise on your lips. You need to send Judah up first. That is your battle cry unto the enemy. You need to start praising God in the midst of the situation. The praise is like the bombers that continue to drop bombs on the enemy. Then you start sending troops on the ground. It dismantles all the weapons that Satan has against you as you open your mouth and you magnify and glorify God. Back to my scripture text. Judges 1, verse 5. So now they've just defeated Judah and Simeon have just defeated the people of Bezek. And the king of Bezek was there. It says, and they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek. And they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him. Now, this is where it gets kind of weird. And it says, and they cut off his thumbs and his great toes. It's kind of cruel. Like, it's okay, you beat me, you won, you know. No, we can take them thumbs and toes too. We own you. Like, I mean, seemed kind of harsh, doesn't it? It says, and Adonai Bezek said 70, and now here's where we find out the answer, right, why they did this. And Adonai Bezek said 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table as I have done. So God hath requited me, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. That the reason why the children of Israel did this to him, because this particular king, he conquered 70 other kings, and he did the exact same thing to them, and he made them fight for scraps underneath his table. That's how bad this guy was. Adonai Bezek means my Lord is lightning, or my Lord is in the chains. My Lord is a Lord of bondage. My Lord is a Lord of slavery. My Lord is a Lord of imprisonment. That's what his name means. His Lord is bondage, is in the chains. His power comes from in incapacitating and disabling his enemies. Now, why would he do this? Quite simple. The reason why that they cut off the thumbs and the toe, the big toes of the individual, because if you didn't have any big toes, you couldn't run. You can't walk. You can't maneuver, and you can't escape. I've got you. Cut off your thumbs because if you don't have any thumbs, you can't handle a sword. You can't fight or defend yourself. He was doing this to show his supremacy over his enemies and to prevent any type of rising up from his enemies. That they were completely disabled and dismantled. They could not escape. They could not maneuver to fight. They could not hold a weapon or grab a bow or a shield because they had no thumbs. They couldn't grab anything. So this way, the enemy was completely dismantled. And the thing is this, that Satan has been doing this to us. He's been trying to cut off our thumbs and cut off our toes and so that we can't fight and we can't seem to maneuver in this thing. But the thing is, in this particular battle, praise that was heard, it is exact the very thing that the enemy did to his enemies, praise did unto Adonai Bezek. When you start praising God, it cuts off the thumbs of the enemy. It cuts off his ability to attack you. It cuts off his ability to run. Oh, you're not going anywhere. I've got you. You're not going anywhere. Now, here's the thing, another reason why they did this. Now, in the Old Testament of the law, that when a priest was consecrated, they would put blood on their right ear and on their thumbs and also on their right big toe. They did this as a way of consecrating themselves as into service with God. And so when Adonai Bezek would do this, he was actually desecrating whatever service that these kings were dedicated to. He was, and also that they would do this particular practice. They'd put blood on the thumb, as on the ear, and also on the toe. Whenever someone had a disease, like a leper, and they did this as a cleansing ceremony, as purity. And that's exactly what the enemy does when he attacks us. He attacks us by first attacking our consecration before God. He bombards us with so much stuff that we're no longer praying as much. We're no longer as consecrated to God as much. We're no longer in the Word as much. And that is basically crippling your thumb. It's crippling your ability to grab any type of weapon to defend yourself. And also, it removes your ability to be pure, that if you have anything that's inside of you, that the Scriptures and being dedicated to God, it purifies you and purges you and keeps you away from the things of the enemy. And that's why Satan does these things. And the Bible tells us in Psalms 18:32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He makes me quick. God empowers me to have quick feet. And it says, and setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. That God wants to empower and enable the hands and the fingers of you. And the way that you do that is by launching praise. When you launch praise, you are strengthening your fingers to fight. You are making your feet ready to run, ready to engage the enemy in battle. I got one last point before I take my seat. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll start at verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. So here's the thing. Judah, by the way, this who's being attacked was Judah, was the tribe of Judah. Jehoshaphat being the king of Judah, was under attack by three different enemies. His whole Jerusalem was being surrounded by three different enemies. Needless to say, Jehoshaphat started freaking out. Everyone else started freaking out. They had three different armies from three different nations surrounding them. There is no escape. They don't have enough manpower to fight against this particular enemy. And so they go to God and they ask God, what should we do? How do we handle this situation? And God, and this is where that phrase, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's, comes from. It was in this situation. And God said, I'm going to fight this battle for you. You just need to trust in me. And so Jehoshaphat, he began to consult all the people there, and they came up with a battle plan. And militarily speaking, this battle plan makes no sense whatsoever. No sense. Look, verse 21 in this chapter, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Now that's crazy, okay? So we're being attacked by three different nations, three different armies. I'm not going to send out my army first. I'm not going to send out the Marines or Special Forces or the Navy SEALs. I'm not going to send out Army Rangers. I'm not going to send out the best fighters I have. I'm going to get the choir, and I'm going to send them out instead. Does that make any sense to you? That sounds crazy, doesn't it? But this is Judah. What do they do best? They praise God the best. They used the weapon that they knew the best. They used praise. They didn't send out the soldiers. They didn't send out swords and chariots and arrows and catapults and other stuff. They didn't send out the armor rangers and the Marines. They sent out the choir. They got the praise team together. Said, you guys get in the front lines and y'all get a song together, start singing. Crazy, ain't it? Judah sent praise first. Now look what happens here. And when they began to sing, verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. They begin to praise God. They begin to sing, oh, give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, mercy endureth forever. They begin to worship and praise God, and it completely confused the enemy. The enemy didn't know what to do, and the enemy turned on itself and started killing each other. And the Bible says that nobody escaped. They slaughtered each other. They did not shoot one arrow, did not get one sword, throw one spear. All they did was praise and send Judah up first, and praise went before them and won the battle. Now look at this. Verse 25, And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. There was so much jewelry and so much food and so much blessings and riches that were there. It took the entire city 3 days to try and get it back into the city. That's how great the blessing was. You think that because the enemy is fighting against you that it's over. The enemy is not just fighting you just for where you are. He's fighting you for where you're going to go. There is a blessing that is at the end of the warfare. There is a blessing at the end of the battle. And all of you would just do is trust God and magnify him and praise God. They said they were gathering spoil for 3 days. 3 days. They were gathering. They're reaping the benefits of just praising God, of just worshiping God, of just sending up Judah first. Shall we stand? We got to send up Judah first. We are in a situation where we are under a lot of warfare. The enemy is fighting against us on every hand. And in these circumstances, it is very easy to get discouraged and to become distracted. And your first launch of attack is to start praising God. Start praising him with everything that you have. Because in doing so, you are giving dominion over to God to handle the situation. This battle is not yours. This battle is the Lord's. And as you begin to praise God, his spirit is going to manifest itself in the situation. It does not matter how tall the mountain is. It's not bigger than our God. It does not matter how complicated the problem is. It's not more intelligent than our God. Doesn't matter how many bills you may have. It doesn't have enough debt or so much debt that God does not have the resources to pay it. I mean, where he lives, he walks in the streets of gold. I think he's got enough money. It does not matter what the situation is. Send Judah up first. Don't send panic up first. Don't send a few curse words up first. Don't send a middle finger to that guy that cuts you off in traffic up first. Don't snap on someone first. Don't send that up first. Don't send anger and aggression and gossip and dissension up first. You send praise up first. When things start getting crazy, you start getting crazy with your praise. You start getting nuts with your praise. You start praising God more intense, and the Bible says it will confuse the enemy. He won't know what to do with it. Send Judah up first. I don't know who this message is for. You're fighting a battle right now. It seems your back is against the wall. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You don't even know if you're going to make it to tomorrow. You don't know how on earth you're going to survive. I tell you right now, if you send Judah up first, and you send Judah in such a way that it can be heard, let the whole world know, I'm praising God right now. I want everyone to know what God is doing right here, right now. And you may be laughing at me now, but you just wait. Just wait and see. I'm going to get over this river. I'm going to get through this valley. And I'm going to climb this mountain. You send Judah up first. Let the praises of God dismantle and destroy the weapons that the enemy is fighting against you. Send Judah up first. Perhaps the issue that you're dealing with is sin. It's maybe not a physical or carnal enemy, but it's a spiritual issue. Send Judah up first. You know, the best way to receive the Holy Ghost is just to praise the Lord. The best is just to acknowledge him for all that he's done. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good and his mercy endureth forever. In doing that and magnifying the solution over the problem, you're enabling God to handle the situation. Send Judah up first. If it's an addiction, send Judah up first. Whatever the situation may be, send the praise. Roar like the lion that you are, that's inside of you. Do not be afraid. Do not fret. Don't be anxious for nothing, nor be careful for nothing, the scripture says. In all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Send Judah up first. Give dominion over to God. If you have not yet received a relationship with God, you don't have a relationship with God, today is your opportunity where you can get victory, you can get deliverance, you can find peace. Because that's what we do. We praise God till that peace comes in, till the storm finally settles, until Shiloh comes, until God takes control. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ today, we want to open these altars for you to get that relationship, to receive a peace that passes all understanding. That perhaps it's difficult for you to understand or to comprehend this peace that I'm speaking of, but I tell you that it's real. My parents can tell you've heard their testimony. As they're watching their house going up in flames, they had a peace. They were smiling and laughing and joking as everything they had was going up in flames. They had a peace. Why? They sent Judah up first. They know that the Lord is their keeper. They know that the Lord is our refuge and our strength. They knew for a fact, who is it that holds my hand? And because of that, they can still send Judah up first. I open these altars today. Will you open your mouth and you praise God? We were just praising God in here earlier. And what a mighty move of God we were having. What manifestations we were having. Could we just do that just right now? Just begin to praise and to worship him. Just to begin to acknowledge him. Show the enemy that the God that you serve is bigger than the devil that you're fighting. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. I quote this all the time, but it's still true. That what should we say to these things if God be for us? Who? Who can be against us? Begin to magnify the Lord over the problem. Magnify him over the situation. He is greater. He is stronger. He is bigger. He is better. He is wiser. Elevate him right now. Right now in this place. Open your mouth and let the King of Glory, let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Let him fight for you as you open your mouth. Begin to praise him. Begin to bless his name. Begin to think of his goodness. Because God enabled me to beat the lion, and he enabled me to beat the bear. Goliath is nothing to me now. Begin to speak of the wonders that God has brought you from. Think about that time when you had no money and someone just donated you out of nowhere. Think about that time when sickness was all in your body, the doctor reports it is impossible when you got healed. Start speaking of God's wonders. Start speaking of his goodness. Remind yourself that God can do this thing, that he will do this thing, that he's able. Come on, y'all being sissified in here. Y'all being scared. Come on. Let the Lion of Judah roar inside of you. Let the Lion of Judah erupt out of you. Let him roar. He's the King of the jungle. He's the King of the forest. Let all the imps and the demons that are around you, let them scatter as they hear the praise come out of your lips. Right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give him all the praise and all the glory. All the praise. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus, we worship you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, let's just do that right now. Praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give some praise before we go for our battle.
He give you all the
we were. If you want prayer. Hallelujah. You put your praise out there now.
You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the
Let's give some praise in here today.
Give.